Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Our show presented by Creation CBD products, curated for life. Chase, where will you be this Friday for your tailgate? What's going on?
It's on Friday?
I'm just reading. Hey, I just read what's on the teleprompter.
Yesterday, he will read yesterday, anything.
No, yesterday the phone number was 738-1025. I'm like, huh, that's a new one.
Who?
Today it's Friday. Still
who is getting drunk and writing these liners? like what is?
He must have been at your tailgate,
Chase. Hey, are you doing the
No, I'm not doing the liners. Join Chase McCabe this Friday at Jonathan's in Mount Juliet. Well, two things. One, it's Saturday at Jonathan's in Mount Juliet, which is 613 South Mount Juliet Road for Chaser's tailgate. But number two, Ryan Porth will be doing the tailgate this week because I will be here with you for the Predators game.
Will it be Ryan or Randy?
It's a good question.
That sounds like a Randy event.
It does sound like a tailgate.
Kind of sounds like Randy.
Yeah. So I think
so. It's Randy's tailgate.
Probably a couple woohoos.
Couple of woohoos. Along with the bombs and the cyclones. If you,
some Irish car bombs.
Listen, Saturday's going to be interesting.
Oh, yes. If you have all bombs and cyclones and woohoos.
No, but it's going to be interesting for me because we got a 11:30 pregame. Mm-hmm. And you know where I'm going to be the night before, so I'm going to be driving in very early Saturday morning.
I did not put that together. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be driving.
Are you staying the night?
Yeah. And then I'm just getting up early Saturday morning and driving back in. So I'm going to be dragging, walking through there.
Yeah. It's pretty safe to say you will not be my first segment guest.
No, that's bad.
Yeah,
bad
we're not going to do that.
That's a bad plan. I have a plan for Behind Enemy Lines that I'm working on that would be cool if it works, but that'll be pre-taped. So
for all the people out there that have been suggesting that text that I received about the unsweet tea planet was one Adam Vingan, I want to let you know that he is innocent. It was not
Adam. I think I know
Adam.
Who it is.
It was not Adam. So there's been a lot of people suggesting that, oh, Vingan, back at it. It was not Adam. So I'm trying to clear his name because you know how that goes. I'm already in like a dicey place with him. And so I'm trying to prove his innocence. It was not Mr. Vingan that I got that text from.
This is who I think it was.
No.
Really?
Well, I read that tweet. That was... I didn't say the name. That was the revolutionary.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the same person.
No. That was a different person.
Yeah, because I knew that.
Go America.
Yeah, that had to be. Okay.
Yeah. Here is something on Pro Football Focus. Pretty interesting. The trade deadline is 1 week away. By the way, David Poyle, in about 5 or 6 minutes, we'll talk with him. We'll just stay right here and speak with the general manager. But the trade deadline for the NFL is in 1 week, okay? November 2nd. And this person who covers the league for Pro Football Focus, they deal a lot of their salary cap analyst, contributor, former Vikings legal intern, Vandy alum, Brad Spielberger.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Vandy alum, Tulane Law alum.
Okay.
Anyway, he has tweeted out some suggestions of where some guys could land.
Okay.
And the Titans appear on this list.
Okay.
Anybody, we'll just start with a position rather than the name. We'll start there. Anybody have an idea of what position he thinks maybe the Titans would be out there trading for?
CB. Yeah. Cornerback.
That is a very, very good answer and a good guess, but it's the wrong answer.
Well, I don't think it's the wrong answer.
It should be the right answer. offensive lineman.
Another really, really good suggestion. Good guess, good answer, but the wrong answer.
Really?
I think they're good everywhere else, really.
Really? Okay.
I don't even linebacker.
Linebacker, no.
Like
tight end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good point.
Tight end.
We missed that one, Willie.
An NFC tight end.
I mean, I think their chemistry between the tight ends is pretty good. They got to get Firkser going, but
NFC East tight end. By the way, Zach Ertz looks pretty good in Arizona.
NFC looks
pretty good. Arizona's pretty good.
Tight end.
Evan Engram?
Evan Engram.
Mm. Okay.
Evan Engram. Be honest. Watch him his entire career. One, he's hurt all the time.
Yeah. Two,
he's been, I would say, a bust. Yeah. Underwhelming.
He's talented.
Oh, he's extremely talented. He looks the part. Oh, when you look at him, it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the question would be, what would he look like on this team as opposed to the Giants, who have been a mess?
Kind of floundering around.
What are they giving up? That's, yeah. I mean, he's got no touchdowns this year, 13 in his career, only a .171 on 20 receptions.
Okay, so let's establish what you'd be willing to trade.
Here's the tough part with
this. In general.
Okay, so because this is why I'm bringing this up. Sam Darnold, what was the storyline on Sam Darnold? What was everybody saying before, you know, we've now seen him with Carolina? What was, if you were going to say something positive about Sam Darnold, what were you going to say?
He was on a bad team. They couldn't protect him.
Blame the Jets.
They couldn't protect him.
Adam Gase.
Yeah. Adam Gase. It's the Jets. It's Adam Gase. Well, bad organization.
Line.
All kinds of. By the way, how's it look for Sam Darnold in Carolina?
It's kind of
Did you hear
when they had Christian McCaffrey? It was better.
Did you hear Charles Robinson this morning with Robbie and Rex Road?
Yeah,
saying, yeah.
Carolina has been heavy for Deshaun Watson. Heavy.
Yeah. Oh,
did we know this, Chase?
We did. That's okay. That's totally
sorry.
Okay.
A little bit of a scramble mode.
Hang on.
He was benched. He was benched on Sunday. So the question is, Willie, to your point, is Evan Engram a byproduct of just a Giants team that's been floundering around doing nothing since they drafted him and a new change of scenery and all of a sudden, poof, oh, wow, he does look like the stud that they drafted several years ago. I mean, he's been in the league now, what, 4 years?
If I could get him for basically nothing, that's one thing. Trading a draft pick for that, I don't know. I would rather trade a draft pick for a corner, which to me is a bigger need. But that's we can debate this throughout the week.
Okay.
It's an intriguing name, though, because the guy's got some upside. The guy's had some good games.
He has, but he's, as I said, he's been underwhelming, in my opinion, in his career. By the way, we're here at the Patron Platinum Club. It's Preds Game Day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Now joined by Predators General Manager David Poile on site. That is so nice to see. It's been a while.
It's a pleasant surprise.
It's I spent a lot of time at this building. if you want me to be here, just ask. There's a good chance that I'm here.
Well, we appreciate you coming over here to our new digs.
I love this. This is much more appropriate for you.
Yeah.
For you guys, a good view, and it seems first class. That Centennial, you look like you're getting a little cold during training camp. So.
And especially hours 3 and 4.
Yeah.
It gets a little rough. We head outside sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's training camp. You got to get, you know, we got to get everybody in shape and get toughened up for the season. So anyway, you look like you've got what you deserve. Very nice digs here.
We certainly appreciate it. So, scary moment in Sunday's game in Minnesota with Ellie Tolvanen in the first period. Anytime a player's going head first in the boards, you always cringe. And he left the game very early on, did not return, but from what I saw on Twitter, because obviously we've been in here, did I see correctly that he was out there skating this morning?
Yeah, he was, and it looks like he was okay. As you said, it's just a very scary situation, and obviously you fear the worst sometimes than like a head injury or what have you, but it's not, and he's probably a little sore, as all of us would be from that, but he came in yesterday, had some work done on him, and did some exercise, and this morning he skated, so he's good to go tonight.
That is really, really good news. So you guys go on the road for the first time, and certainly the offense sparked on the road. And you would think 9 goals would be good enough, David, for 2 wins, but unfortunately it was not. But were you at least encouraged that you got some scoring punch plus some power play goals on the road?
Yeah, absolutely. The first 4 games, the scoring was really hard to get. I think, again, you talk about effort and how we're playing and what have you. I think that's all good, but the end result is you have to produce, and it was something that we were concerned with at the beginning of the year for sure. And I think a lot of people, when they analyze the Predators, they said certain things about our team, but one of the things that consistently that comes up is that we have got to get some more scoring, and it's hard to win if you don't. I always like to think that 3 is almost the magic number. Win 3-2, lose 3-2, but we were never getting to 3. So it was encouraging, and it was encouraging and started in Winnipeg in the second half of the game, although we were behind and it was not a perfect game. We'd made a lot of mistakes, but I would say we were led by some of the younger guys like Tommy Novak and Tomasino, who scored and then scored on the power play. And then what happened in Minnesota was, I guess the best way to say it is exactly the way you'd want to say it, is our best players really produced. Power play was good, as you said. Joey got a couple of goals. Philip got a goal. Roman got a goal. It was the perfect script is what we need. Now you feel that you've got a little bit more of a chance of producing more goals or what have you. But again, that's an area that we're going to have to see how that plays out. And we haven't had, you look through our lineup, after 6 games, it's not enough scoring to to win on a regular basis. But with maybe Novak coming on, especially on the second power play, and Tomasino playing there, and Tolvanen has only got 1 goal, hope springs eternal that maybe we got this going. But it starts, for me, with our top guys. And if Joey, Phil, Dutchy, Granlund, Cunningham hasn't scored a goal yet, they got to get on the scoreboard. And when they do on a more regular basis, I think it gives us a much better chance of being a harder team to play against and getting some more victories. So it's a work in progress from that standpoint.
David, we've talked a lot over the years about good stories, and I thought it was a really, really cool story on Sunday. First NHL start, first NHL win. He was a 3rd-round pick by Tampa Bay in 2016. You guys acquired him in June of 2019. I know, because we've had conversations with you before, you guys think highly of him. Clearly the team thinks highly of him. He's had his rough patches away from the ice. He had to go away for almost a year. What a story. What a cool story. And to see them kind of rally behind him and only join Pekka as the second Predators goaltender to ever win his first NHL start. What a journey for him. And how proud are you of what happened on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic story, and it's his story. But as you asked the question, I'm so proud of a lot of people in our organization that, were a big part of, helping him, get his life turned around or what have you. It starts on the ice with our goaltending coaches, not only Ben Vanderklok, but Dave Rook, that's worked with Connor probably more than anybody because he's been in, been in Milwaukee for a long time. Our training staff, led by our athletic trainer Kevin Morley, and before him it was Andy Hostler, Vicky Woosley, who's our team psychologist, on and on, and the management staff. I think we all had our hand into that a little bit. And then of course it goes to the support that he gets from the players. And for those of you that saw the game, you could certainly see that it was a genuine situation. The hugs were long and the hugs were real after the game, because let's face it, everybody probably can identify with either somebody or themselves in a personal experience where you've been down and out, and you came back, and it's like a wow situation. But I'm really proud of Connor. You still never know what people are going through or what demons everybody has. But right now he's I think he's done a lot of things in his life that were not the best things or distractions or what have you to clean up that area in his life. I also think, from a standpoint of his physical appearance, he looks sharp the way he's dressing and how he's taking care of himself. And I think he just feels much better about himself right now. So it's a start. And he doesn't look like he has too many errors about him, and he doesn't get too high or too low, and he's not a cocky guy, if you will.
Seemed very reserved, calm, humble, even after they won.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a day at a time type of a situation, but so far so good. And the big thing that, and it's such a message, and you know, we talked about this internally, is that when we're now talking to our younger players about the commitment and what it's going to take, sacrifices and what have you. I mean, what he went through, and then how he had to change things in his life, and then coming here to Nashville in the summer on his own dime, if you will, to stay here, work with our training staff and David Good from a physical conditioning thing, and all the time that he put in, which has to be as much as anybody did in the off season to get back to where he needed to get. So, as you said, it's a great story, and if I check off some of the things, are key things or things I love about my job, that would be one of them, to have at least a little part of what happened with Connor, but really proud of him for doing that.
How much did that affect your decision making in the off season? Because it has to factor in, but you guys probably thought, and I know you can't take that away because it's in play, it's there. But I have to believe you envision this, right? You guys like what you saw, like just the guy in between the pipes, his talent. He was, or I'm going to ask you, was he ready, do you think, pushing that aside, to be the backup for UC Saros if that wasn't in play, talent-wise, on a regular basis in the NHL?
I think talent-wise, we recognize he's getting really close. But your question is excellent, because could we count on him?
Right.
And, again, we took a leap of faith that he came to Nashville. He's doing this, he's doing that, that he would be ready to play and there if necessary. But again, these are not easy decisions. I mean, we could have gone in a different direction, signed a higher end third goalie to have him actually just compete for his job in Milwaukee. But we didn't do that. And at the moment, it seems to be the right decision. But now he's, I think the conversation in the offseason was, will Connor be ready to play? Has he got this behind him? Will he be give us the depth? Can he be our third goalie? But now, based on how he played in training camp and obviously winning his first game, now he puts himself in the conversation of can he be Juice's backup? And that's good competition, for David Rittich. Unfortunately, Rittich has been out with COVID, and that's not necessarily his fault, but it's good for us that now we have this we're more sure of our depth than say we were starting training camp.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager, in action tonight, the Predators with the San Jose Sharks in town. Another guy that it looks like sort of took the same mentality in the offseason, that really dedicate himself so far, it looks like Dante Fabra, but I was hearing about it a lot during the summer, that he had sort of turned over a new chapter, maybe changed some habits, looked at what he needed to work on, and looks like it's paying dividends. He looks really poised out there and playing really good hockey.
Yeah, getting better. I mean, I think, Dante, when he first came on the scene right from Boston University, it was like, oh, this guy looks like he could be pretty good, and he, came right into our lineup, which is fairly unusual, and he had a good year. But, last year, and again, when I talk about last year, you lump in a whole bunch of things from the COVID to different situations, but it was not a strong year. It was not an improving year for Dante, and he knew it. Conversations were good at the end of the season, and I think, again, another story where he did things differently, maybe some of his trainings, other habits. He's a little bit stronger this year. I think he's a little bit more focused this year. And when we need him, and we need he and Carrier, we need Philip Myers. I mean, we feel obviously we're really strong with Jos and Ekki on our first two left D positions. But, it's the ice time and the opportunities really available right now. I mean, we're trying to replace Ryan Ellis, and that's a tall task right now. But these young players like Carrier and Myers and Fabro and Benning, they're going to get these chances. So, they've got to take advantage of them. Shame on them if they don't, because if they don't, then we got to go somewhere else. But right now, we like what we see in Fabs, and let's hope that he can capture that position so that we don't have to make any decisions to go outside the organization.
A couple of guys that look like, again, have continued to get better, at least in my observation, Tanner Jeannot and Yakov Trenin, and it looks like, they're continuing on the path that they started last year, just not only they can chip in offensively, but just the force that they are each night on the forecheck and aggressive play. And it seems like there's still some people that didn't quite know what they were getting into when they stepped on the ice with those guys, especially as you know, he's knocking people over and people are looking around going, wait a minute, where did this guy come from?
Yeah, we're very happy with those guys. And if you look back to last year, that line with Colton Sissons, I mean, you know, you look at different things like what turned the season around or what have you, and those guys deserve a lot of credit to the physicality, their drive, the little bit of intimidation, if you will. And as you said, chipping in the odd goal here and there, which, you know, we weren't even sure if that was, you know, in their DNA, so to speak. So I think they have a good opportunity, and we have these conversations all the time now in terms of, you know, how to improve our team, how to get better or what have you. Do we keep them together as a line, in this identity line, or do they deserve, or should they be put on other lines higher up in the lineup to have that sort of that driver mentality? And, you know, I think as the season goes along, you're going to see some opportunities for those guys to do some different things. But, you know, right now, I mean, I can be critical of certain things on our team, but I'm certainly not critical of those guys. They're very, very consistent game after game, and they do the things to play their role. And again, if we just could get everybody else to play their role, we would be in a little bit better position than we are today, but we're working on that.
You touched on Tommy Novak, and he was sort of a less heralded prospect. You know, we were looking at a lot of other guys. There's a lot of young players, but quietly he stepped in there, and he looks like he's making his mark, and he's got a chance to stick for a while.
Yeah, he does. He was the best offensive player down in Milwaukee last year. He had a really good training camp this year. Arguably, he was better than Cody Glass at training camp, but we felt that Glass needed a little bit longer runway, and that was our choice, but we undid that fairly quickly. And Novak is the player right now, and he put up some points the other night in Winnipeg, and he and Tomasino on the power play look really, really good. And knock on wood, because you talk about our power play, that's been an area of discussion for the last, seems like, 4 or 5 years. It has not been as good as we need it to be. And when you're not scoring a lot of goals, if you could get your power play going, obviously that could be a huge thing. And arguably you could say that won us the game in Minnesota with the two power play goals at the beginning of the game. But Novak and Tomasino seem like they're good young players, whether they stay here all year long. I mean, I'm not committing to anything, right now, and I certainly would like to keep the pressure on them to the extent that they have to earn their stripes every day. But I like our young guys. You just mentioned Trenin, you mentioned Janot, we talked about Fabro, I mentioned Carrier's name. Now you add in Novak and Tomasino. That's a lot of guys that basically weren't even regulars on our team at the start of last year. So a lot of changes and a lot of young players that at the moment feels like they have a good upside.
David Poile, Predators general manager, is here with us. I'm Darren Donick and Chase, we started this talking about, the top line and some of those guys, but I look at Johansson and Duchesne, and I see this mix of guys that have their confidence back that maybe was shaky a little bit at times last year, but also, they hear everything, and they know the conversations. They were unprotected for the expansion draft, and they're playing with a little bit of that chip on their shoulder as well. Is that what you expect of kind of that balance of both confidence and maybe playing with that chip?
Yeah, yes, I'll agree with that. I mean, but then go just bottom line is, I mean, they have to be better in their overall game, and they have to produce. I mean, they're leaders on our team. I've liked everything from day one in terms of how they've prepared every day, their work ethic. And some games have been a little bit better than others. It was nice to see that, Joey got a couple of goals. Phillip scored a goal. I mean, Dutchie, to me, is his effort and his drive has been consistent every game. Like, he's not getting rewarded with, too many points, or he's only got, I believe, one goal. I mean, obviously, I would love for them to be a little bit more productive, and I think if they could, we all feed off of confidence, as you say, but the bottom line is a couple of good games, not rewarded. And then, to me, that was the game against Minnesota with them, scoring and how they played the game. And, and again, they they more or less dominated their first line,
yeah.
if you will, in the matchup. And that's what we need to see on a more regular basis. And of all the things we've talked about, you know, I've hit about five things. If we could do this a little bit better, we would be better. But if I come back to, if you're looking for one really good area, if, you know, Philip, Joey, and Dutchie, if they're playing together, which I think he may be breaking them up because he did that the other night. But regardless of where they play, if they can be, effective and then bottom line for me, productive, outplay the other team in their matchup, that's going to take us a long way to being successful.
Well, one of the things you did with this roster was not only get younger as you wanted to do, but you got bigger. You got bigger guys. Mm-hmm. And you look at somebody like Rocco Grimaldi is clearly the smallest guy on the team. Mm-hmm. This league is changing, needing bigger bodies. What do you envision his role being? Because he's been in and out of the lineup, and you obviously the drive that he has, but with having to answer what the league's doing, it's a tough place for him to be in.
Yeah, this is not a good situation for Rocco or for the Predators. I was saying things I love about my job. Well, this is one that you we're dealing with this. I mean, you'd have to suspect that he's not happy. He thinks he deserves to play over this player or that player, what have you. I mean, we deal with that all the time. But he's been here for a couple of years. We know he can play. I know he can play, but he didn't play too much at the end of last year. And to this point, we've only have one extra forward. But again, tonight he's not playing. So this is, Rocco brings speed. John's used him a little bit in killing penalties. When he gets his next chance, he's got to make something happen to give him a chance to stay in the lineup. It's probably as simple as that, but it's not a perfect situation. I mean, you're always dealing with this balance. Like we have two extra defensemen tonight, and I know the coach has probably had to talk to them. Like they're going to say, well, why am I not in? We deal with that all the time. So just, he'll get his chance. I mean, you knock on wood, there's going to be, as I always say, good play, bad play, injuries, stuff like that. He'll get his chance, but obviously hoping for him that when he does get his chance that something happens like that four-goal night against Detroit.
Last thing, David, you brought up Tomasino. First game of the season, makes his NHL debut against the Kraken. Looked like a rookie playing his first game in the NHL. At least that was my opinion. Mm-hmm. Sits out a couple of games. He's looked a lot different. He looks a lot more comfortable. Looks like he's making the proper progression and steps. Obviously, he's got a couple of goals thrown in there as well. One of them, a power play goal on this road trip. And then the first ever NHL goal here to end up the homestand. What's your assessment of what you saw from Tomasino?
End result, he's going to be a really good player for us for a lot of years. He's going to be a top six player. He's going to be an offensive player. Right now, it's a little bit of the risk-reward situation. I mean, as he fully admitted, he scored the goal, the big goal, in his first goal in the Rangers game. But he was, and again, it's never simplest, and it's my fault or what have you, but that was his man at that time. So the reason why he's still in the lineup, if you will, is because he's got a chance to produce on a team that's not putting up a lot of numbers. So if he can just tighten up his game here and his responsibilities defensively, then he's going to probably stay in the lineup because I'm confident he's going to do enough offensively that we're going to be wanting him in the lineup. So young guy, and like I said earlier in the interview, I mean, no promises here. If he has to go down, that's not the worst thing in the world. And, right now he's playing arguably fourth line and getting like 12 minutes. We're down there, he'd get more minutes. But let's see what happens tonight. This is the Army today. I mean, you got to earn your stripes tonight and do your thing. But
were you impressed that a 20-year-old rookie said that? He didn't have to say that in the press conference.
No, and I think you get high marks for that with everybody, the players, the coaches all saw that. I mean, that's better than saying I was not my man, type of situation. So, I mean, again, when he's on the ice, you notice him. That's the thing. You know something could happen with him. And when he's on the power play, he shoots the puck. I mean, we've been criticized a little bit for maybe passing the puck around a little bit too much or what have you. But, I mean, I feel he's got a chance to score when he gets the puck on the power play. So we all like Phil Tomasino a lot. So, again, come on, Phil, big game tonight. Get another one. We'll be cheering for you.
Good to see you. Thanks for doing this. Okay. Thanks for stopping by.
Okay, guys.
Predators General Manager David Poile every Tuesday at 11:15. It's good to see him in person here at the Patron Platinum Club. We'll come back more on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.